the letter from Romans. Romans chapter 1, I'll be reading verses 16 through 32. And you stand out there, two guys with birds dead. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Since what can be known about God is evident to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what has been made. As a result, people are without excuse. For though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God delivered them over in the desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served what has been created instead of the Creator, who is praised forever. Amen. For this reason, God delivered them over to disgraceful passions. Their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. The men, in the same way, also left natural relations with women and were inflamed in their lust for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty of their error. And because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a corrupt mind so that they do what is not right. They are filled with all unrighteousness, evil, greed, and wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, senseless, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. Although they know God's justice, that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do it, but even applaud others who practice it. Wednesday, last year, we started in our study in the book of Romans. Now, back in the back, I think there's something left. I've got a little handout for you. On one side, it goes when the New Testament events occurred, and it shows you where the different letters were written, and the Gospels and the other letters. Romans was not the first letter that Paul wrote. And then if you look on the other side of the handout, it tells you a timeline of Paul's life and the events that happened in his life, so you can use that as a little follow-along. Now, in the order of the New Testament, the easiest way to look at why they put Paul's letters the way they do it, it goes the longest one to the shortest one. Romans is the longest letter. Philemon is the shortest letter. And in between, it just goes from longest to shortest. And Paul wrote the letter to the Romans. He had a purpose. He wanted to introduce himself. He's never been to Rome. But many of the people there in Rome knew him. They knew about him. And Paul had had a personal encounter with at least 26 of the people that were in Rome, because he mentions them by name in the letter, and most of them in chapter 16, Paul has said, I'm writing this letter because I want you to know that I've always wanted to come visit you, but I've been prevented from doing that now. Now, we just returned, Juan and I, from a trip to see my oldest daughter, her husband, and the three grandchildren. And it's been a while since we've seen him. And it's not that we wanted to go visit him because they moved to Orlando, and that's right next to Disney World. Although, I think that's one of the reasons that my daughter moved Florida was a big part of the choice to go there. Plus, on Christmas, people were in the water park at Disney, floating on the lazy river around that water park, which they took us to. We got to float on the lazy river. At the same time, where she used to live in Detroit, they're shoveling snow. So I don't think she misses shoveling snow. I know, especially the more Versailles works on my shoulder, the happier I am. I'm not in Minnesota anymore, because I do have to shovel snow right now. But that's not the reason that Paul wanted to go to Rome, because he heard about all the attractions that were to see in Rome. You know, he said, I want to go because I've heard about your faith. Everywhere I go, all over the world, I hear about your faith. And I want to share with you the gospel so that we can encourage one another. You can encourage me and I can encourage you. And then Paul says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, and also to the Greek. We need to understand about the gospel. Paul's saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, you might think, why would somebody be ashamed of the gospel? Paul's saying, I'm not ashamed to tell everybody the solution to the problems that the world is facing. There are a lot of people that don't want to hear the solution. They want to talk about the problems. There's all kinds of problems in the world today. There's problems with drugs. There's problems with finances. There's problems with evil. There's problems with violence. There's problems within marriages, there's problems outside of marriages, there's problems at work, there's problems everywhere. But the gospel is the solution. Now, there's a story told about somebody driving a semi-truck and got stuck under an underpass. And all these people are there trying to figure out how to get the semi out from under the underpass. And they're all coming out with all kinds of solutions. One little boy was not ashamed of his idea. He walked up and said, why don't you just let the air out of the tires? They had been hours trying to figure out how to get this truck out from under and let the air out of the tires. Fortunately, they were wise enough to listen to the wisdom of the child. They let the air out of the tires and got the semi out from under the overpass. But sometimes we're afraid to speak the truth. But the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is the solution to the world's problems. It is what we should not be ashamed of. But even many of us who are Christians are ashamed to speak the gospel. But what is the gospel? It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone. And it's God's power. And it comes by our belief in God's power. Not our belief in our own ability. Because without God, I can do nothing. and it's available to everyone. And it's God's power to deal with the consequences of sin. Now, Paul's going to go into more detail about the gospel and sin, because a lot of people don't think they're sinners, because they have a different definition of sin. Sin, to them, is being worse than somebody else. And as long as they can find somebody they're better than, then they're not sinners. They're good people. You might have heard somebody say, why do bad things happen to good people? Bad things happen to sinners. Bad things happen to everyone. Because God's trying to get our attention to remind us we are all sinners. Now in chapter 3, Paul's going to make this real clear: from all of sin, and none without sin, not even one. That person might be thinking, yeah, everybody else in the church is sinners, but I'm not. So Paul adds that to those that are being led, not even one. Well, salvation is being declared righteous before God, in right standing before God. Now, in our judicial system here in America, and most of the places in the world, you're either declared guilty or not guilty. No one is ever declared innocent. If you're declared not guilty, that just means there wasn't enough evidence to convict you of the crime. You might have done it, you might not. But God's righteousness, God's salvation, declares us innocent before God and His judgment day. And we need to understand that there is a judgment day coming. Just last month in Australia, a father and his son decided they're going to take guns and shoot all the people that were on the beach that were celebrating the Jewish festival of Hanukkah. Now, they caught the people, and what do you think should happen? Do you think they should be let go? Because, anyway, they were just doing what they thought was right for them. They were following their religious teaching that says, kill the infidel. Or do you think they didn't stand trial? The evidence is there. The video of them shooting people. Should they be convicted and sentenced to judgment because of their wrongdoing? We can say the person that shoots someone else in a manner like that needs to face the punishment. And we are sinners, can we say that? How can we say to God, don't punish wrongdoing? God is the one that will punish sin. And it's described as God's wrath. Now, when we think of wrath, we're angry. God's wrath comes in the midst of His love. God's love and wrath can go hand in hand. God hates the sin, but loves the sin. In chapter 5, verse 18, God demonstrates His own love for us because I will get sinners twice. So we need to understand, why do we need to be saved? In the past, you might have heard about a ship called the Titanic, described as an unsinkable ship. And on the ship, there was a wireless, a Morse code device. And after they had hit the iceberg and were sinking, they sent out a message. First time SOS was sent out. However, the other ships nearby, the person that was listening for those messages had already gone to bed. There was another ship that was within sight of the Titanic, and their wireless operator, the only worker in the day, because there's no reason, but on a liner, they just use those to send messages to shore. Maybe some rich person needed to sell some stock or buy something or send a message like that, but they weren't there for the emergency. But the wireless operator on the Titanic continued, even as the ship was sinking, sending out messages. We need help. We're sinking. We need help. Other ships heard the message, received it, but they were many, many hours away. Why did they send out that message? Because they knew the future was doomed without help. Our future is doomed without the help. Only God can provide. God's wrath is revealed not from earth, but from heaven. God doesn't look at our laws and say, we're going to judge people according to man's law. God says, I'm going to judge by His law and His standard of what is right and what is wrong. Because it's very confusing today if you look at what man says is right and wrong. And God's wrath from heaven is revealed against all godlessness and unrighteousness. There are four charges that I put down here. So when you're facing a court trial, they charge you with certain crimes. I can see there's probably more, but four charges here. The first charge, it says they have suppressed the truth. Okay, it says, for God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. How do we know that they're suppressing the truth? Look at verse 19. Since what can be known about God is evident among them because God has shown it to them. God has made His truth known to everyone. The only reason you don't accept God's truth is you push it down because of your own desires, your own unrighteousness. God has made His evidence, and He's given evidence. So the first thing, people suppress the truth. Let's don't put the truth out. Second charge, they ignore the evidence. Look at verse 20. For His invisible attributes, that is, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood from what has been made. As a result, people are without excuse. God has shown His attributes. Sir William Blackstone, he wrote a commentary on the law. And it was the commentary throughout England and throughout America for a long period of time during our founding. And it said all laws are based on natural law. And natural law is a law revealed by God in nature. We know that it is wrong to lie. Why? That's God revealed. Lying is wrong. Murder is wrong. That's God revealed to us. Natural law was the basis of our laws, founding our country, until it became changed because other people suppressed the truth and said our laws are now based on precedent. What does somebody else say? Not what does God say? In our founding document, It talks about the laws of nature and nature's God. That's referring to the self-evident law where we know what is right and wrong. People know when things are right and when things are wrong innately. That's natural law, not revealing. But also, we look out, we see the sun. Life would not survive on our planet without the S unit. And life is not going to survive for eternity without the S O unit. The sun in the sky is heat, is light, it's growth. That sunlight provides energy that plants need to reduce sugar. You know what else has a byproduct? It's called photosynthesis. Making that sugar, it releases oxygen, which we need to breathe. And as we breathe, we exhale carbon dioxide. We eat the sugar from plants, or eat the sugar in things that ate the plants. We get that energy from the sun, either through a plant or through an animal that ate a plant. And as we exhale carbon dioxide, plants inhale carbon dioxide to help them make more sugar, and then they give off extra oxygen. So, there's a sign there. The formula for photosynthesis and the formula for us using energy is called cellular respiration, and they're identical. The only thing is a cycle. The sun brings in the energy, makes the sugar, the oxygen, we take in the sugar and oxygen, produce carbon dioxide, and it goes through this cycle. Almost like your earth, as it is, designed. A tree has a unique system where it takes water from the roots, sends it up to the tallest part, the top of redwood trees, get water from the roots. Then they send the nutrients down to the top, comes into the leaves, goes down to every part of the tree. A design, a scientist can explain how water can go that high up in a tree and explain how it comes down. They have trouble explaining how it goes up. And then the more we discover, the more we see the intricacies of God's design. DNA, in world history, at least discovered, shows blueprints for making everything. This takes four levels, and everything that is four levels out there is created thereafter. Now, a lot of the stuff when they first discovered DNA is that it's just junk DNA. It doesn't do anything. But the more they get into it, the more discovering all that junk DNA actually does things. There's on and off switches, there's make a nose this way, an ear that way, put the eyes here, the ears there. That's why we have our eyes here, and not here. And our ears not here. Some people try to say everything just happened by random accident. No. There's evidence of design throughout everything we look at. But people ignore the evidence. I'm making words. And that would be ignoring the evidence of the English language, which I put here sometimes. But we can see that. So, what's the first charge? We suppress the truth. What's the second charge? We ignore the evidence. The third charge, we don't give glory and thanks to God. We need to thank God for this. This last time you thank God for having oxygen. You know, it's something we take for granted. Having sunshine. Having cold weather. Having rain. Having roof over your head. Having the stars in the sky. For making all kinds of things for us. Wow. I remember some of the first images of the Hubble telescope, even before it got its glasses, got the vision ready. And you just look at way off in the distance of the universe, and you see all these wonderful things that God has made. Is there anything there? There's stuff God made for us to go, wow. Isn't that neat? Isn't that awesome? God knows each of those things we can see just as a pinprick by name. God made it all. And He's bigger than the earth star. From one side of the universe to the other. There's only God's universe. And what's the fourth charge? We gave credit to created things instead of the Creator. Suppressed the truth, ignored the evidence, did not glorify God, and instead gave credit someplace else. And what are the consequences? Well, we need to remember, God is trying to get our attention. He desires that no one perish. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he says, He stands at the door and knocks. Anyone that opens, He will come in. In John 12, 32, He said, If I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. In John 3, He talks about how He has not come to condemn the world, but to condemn the world. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God desires that no one perish, but that all come to repentance. God is trying to get our attention. Now, if you've ever driven along the road and not seen these signed portals. They're spinning these little signs. Well, I saw one that was sitting on the side of the road on his phone. He had a sign laid down in his lap. Hope they weren't paying him much. Because he wasn't getting much people's attention. That's how was his idea. Why is this guy got a portal sign? But he was not doing the motion to get your attention. And generally, they have a sign and say, come into this business right here. Now, there can be an arrow, a sign, something pointing out, coming into this business. But God is trying to get our attention that we will recognize the truth and give glory to Him and recognize that we are not in right standing with God. But there's consequences for our sin. Now, I spent many years in the engine room of a Navy ship where there's high-pitched turbines, steam going through, spinning gears, and I lost a lot of my hearing as a consequence of working in the engine room. And we have consequences for our sin. And God is going to describe that to us. These are the results of suppressing the truth, of ignoring the evidence, of not giving glory to God, of giving glory to someone else. So it tells us in verse 26, for this reason, all right, verse 24, therefore God delivered them over in the desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve what has been created instead of creating his praise forever. Too many things, areas he's talking about. Sexual impurity and worshiping things that are not the Creator. Paul says, God, you praise forever. Amen. Now, amen means so let it be. That's right. Some churches might be. Preach on. Amen. God should be praised forever. Amen. God should be praised forever. God should be praised forever.
Amen.
There we go. Amen. And then he goes into a little more detail of sexual impurity. Verse 26. For this reason, God delivered them over to their disgraceful passions. Now, deliver them over. Remember, God is drawing himself, drawing people to himself. He stops drawing. What happens? Here are the consequences of your rejection of the truth. Here are the consequences of suppressing the truth. Here are the consequences of ignoring the evidence. Here are the consequences for not giving glory to the Creator. Here are the consequences for glorifying the creation instead of the Creator. Their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. The men, in the same way, also left natural relations with women and were inflamed in their lust for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty of their error. Now, if that's not clear to you that God disapproves of homosexuality, you have a little problem with understanding the English language. But there are some churches that say, what that really means is homosexual people shouldn't have sexual relations with heterosexual people. It's okay for homosexuals to have relations with homosexuals, because that's the way God made it. God calls it unnatural. And in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, and chapter 20, verse 13, he says, it is detestable, abominable, for a man to lie with a man, and a woman to lie with a man. This is not natural. Now, God created sex, but for one man and for one woman for life. Not for multiple people, not for a man and a man, not for a woman and a woman. God created it as a part of his grand, beautiful design. It's not the sex, it's the perversion of the sex. And then God goes on in verse 28. And because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a corrupt mind so that they do not do what they so that they do what is not right. And if we look back in verse 22, it says, claim to be wise that they make fools, and exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. The gods of Egypt were all animals with human legs and torsos. The evolutionary chart says everything created from animals and moved up to man. Serving, worshiping creation, creating things instead of the world. So what did God do? Three times in this passage said, he gave them over. You won't accept the truth, you suppress it. You won't accept the evidence. You won't give glory to God. And you give glory to created things. So you're going to reap the consequences. They are filled, verse 29, with all unrighteousness, evil, greed, and wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, quarrel, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, senseless, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. None of those are good things. Well, some people might say, well, this gossip thing, that's okay. I remember over 20 years ago when I first got married, somebody came up and talked to me and was telling me, now this is not gossip, it's the truth. And they started gossiping about something. It doesn't matter if it's the truth or not. If you're saying something to someone else, it's not going to solve the problem. It's gossip. Slander. Lying to others. All these are not good. But we see all of us have been involved in all of it. At one time or another, how does it end? Although they know God's sentence, just sentence, that those who practice such things deserve to die, people know they're doing wrong, and they know God is going to punish them. Although they know that, what do? They not only do them, but they even applaud others who practice them. Gay pride, flags, gay pride parades. People talk about how we need to applaud people's choice of pronouns and choosing to ignore God's creation. We are living in a place that has applauded the wrong move. Applauded people that suppress the truth. We have people applauding the removal of the Ten Commandments from public areas that suppress the truth. Let's have people applaud the evidence. There's a park not too far from here in the desert. Dinosaur footprints in mud or carbon water. The human footprints by the side. Let's put a walkway over human footprints. You can't see those. Or let's say that those aren't human footprints right there, the dinosaur footprints. Those are just a small footed dinosaur. Let's suppress the truth. Let's say the Grand Canyon was formed by a little river going uphill for millions of years until it cut a ravine. Instead of saying it's a washout gully, let's ignore the evidence of seashells at the top of the highest mountains. That's not evidence of flood. That's giving an alternative solution to that. Like that movie we saw a few years ago about there's an asteroid that's going to come in and fix everything to solve the problems of evolutionary theory. Well, it applauded the people who are atheists, who don't give glory to God, and they applaud the people. And glory to the creation. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone by faith. Paul is explaining to people he has not, for the most part, met face to face, saying you need to understand the truth. And I'm not ashamed to tell you the truth. It's not politically correct in this world. That's okay. people in this world are not in charge of the universe. God is. If you want to be politically correct, be politically correct with the one that is the king of the universe. God. And he has come to provide a way that we can be saved because of his mercy. And it's the power of God, not the power of man. And it's not anything we do, it's what God has done. Or we can have a step in that. Or we can have faith, embrace the truth. And live a life without shame in the gospel. Lord, I pray that we will take a stand for what's right. Even when people are suppressing the truth, ignoring the evidence, not giving glory to you, and instead bringing glory to other things. Let us remain true to the gospel. In Jesus' name.